Hey, that's it. Woo!
Thank you, Father Wayne. Thank you for letting me come back and have a few words. Ronnie, Matt, thank you guys very much for allowing this. Let me just take a moment. Abba, Father, as we gather together in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would just take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire, that we may have a greater, ever-deepening, all-consuming love of you and a love for one another. To the glory of your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we got Trinity Sunday. I know the Trinity hasn't been preached on very much over the years. So anybody who wants to go ahead and take a nap, I'd suggest you go ahead and get started. Sort of like we combine this one with the Great Commission, the other one that we never talk about.
Yeah.
So you can have two naps this morning. It'll go well. I'm going to go over these two briefly. I think the biggest thing is the mystery of the Trinity, and I want to use that to lead into something else. I remember years ago, and I think it's been told many times, well, the Trinity's the three in one. You know, it's kind of like you got the apple, you got the skin, you got the meat, you got the core. Yeah. Or it's like ice. Water comes in steam, a gaseous product. Or it comes in water, it's a liquid. Or it comes in ice, it's a solid. See, that's the way the Trinity is. Well, that's our meager attempt to try to understand the mystery, but it's really a pretty meager attempt. Because the thing that those analogies all leave out is the skin of the apple is not the whole apple. The steam, when water is in that form, is not all water. But the Trinity, Jesus, when he hung on the cross, Jesus, when he walked the earth as the Son of God, in his fullness as the Son of Man and humankind, but also in his fullness as God. And he was complete as God. How do we know that? I mean, is that an imagination thing? No, actually, it's told to us in the Scriptures. I mean, Jesus speaks to Philip. Remember when Philip comes in and says, Lord, just show us the Father, that will be enough. I love these guys. And Jesus says, what, Philip? Come on, dude, you've been with me for how long? And you still don't get it? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Ooh. When Jesus speaks and prays to the Father about us, all those who come to believe through the apostles, and he says, and for those who believe, we will gather in their heart. I used to think about this years and years ago, and I go, I really just don't understand how the Lord would pull that off. You're going to go have dinner with me in my heart. That's pretty messy. I mean, I just can't get past that. There must be another dimension in there somewhere. And how are all three of you going to fit in there? Well, Jesus comes in because he is the Father, and he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is Jesus and is the Father. They are all totally one person, yet in three persons. And it's an amazing thing because they come to us in a way that is helpful to us, not harmful. I don't think any of us could really stand in the presence of the Holy God. As the prophets say, it's a fearful thing to come into the presence of a holy God. If we have a great relationship with our earthly father, chances are pretty good we're going to just tend to gravitate towards God the Father. If we have a great relationship with our brothers and sisters, we may gravitate towards Jesus. If we have a great relationship with our mother, we may gravitate towards the Holy Spirit. Those aren't real solid theological truths by any stretch of the imagination, but just dealing with people over time in ministry, that seems to be the way it breaks out. You talk to people and they go, "Oh man, don't talk to me about God the Father. He's out there. Oh, ho, ho, ho. No. We'll just leave him out there." And if you dig in a little bit, you find out that their relationship with their father wasn't so good. Maybe been pretty abusive, or maybe he was absent, or whatever it may have been. But you start talking about the Holy Spirit, and they say, "I'm connected. I can get with the Holy Spirit." And you dig a little deeper, and you find out that they had a great relationship with their mother. And with Jesus, it's with their siblings. So there seems to be this thing that the Lord has known from all creation, that this is the way we would be, and so he comes to us in a way that we can accept, in a way that we can be more closely integrated with him. One of the other aspects is, and you all probably heard this, you notice in verse 1 of Genesis that we read this morning, "And God created," Elohim is the Hebrew word for God that's used there. And it's the plural of that word. So how can you say, why would the ancient Hebrews write, "God created," but have that in plural form with a singular meaning? I think they knew something. I think the Holy Spirit was working through them. And later on in verse 26, we read where, "And God said, let us create them in" whose image? "Our." I don't know about you, sounds plural to me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yet one God, indivisible. Remember, as we were hearing about Genesis, the whole 7 days, the 6 days of creation, the seventh day of rest. Have y'all seen lately the pictures of that just reach out into deep space? All the nimbus and quadrimacolicus and whatever. Who knows what they all? I can't pronounce those words. But they're this spectacular pictures of all sorts of galaxies, stars and suns and moons, and it takes your breath away, doesn't it? Can you imagine walking into one of these rooms where I guess maybe it'd be like virtual reality if you put the glasses on and you had all that going for you? I think I might have a meltdown. It's just incredible in the beauty of it. And then you come and look at you can get really weird here, but spend a little time meditating on a leaf. But when you look in a microscope through the leaf and you see all of how it's put together, it's incredible. It's just fantastic. And we haven't even touched on the human being yet. When I started looking at that stuff and I tried to figure out, how's my ear doing? Too much for me to know. I'm glad there are doctors out there who study that. And I used to think, you're an ear doctor? Really? That's it? Why don't you get into hearts or something, get something serious. Ear? Boy, that stuff that's in there is incredible. The awesomeness of God, our Creator. He has done all this from the sun, moon, and stars, the galaxies, the leaves, the animals, us as human beings. And how did he bring it into existence? He spoke. Let there be. I want you all to get outside today. And if you've got something that you want, just speak it. Let there be, whatever it happens to be. I was thinking about going home. I was going to the bank manager today and saying, let there be $600,000 in my account. Work for God. I'm made in His image. How about it? There's a little something missing there, isn't there? We're definitely not Him. But in recognizing that and recognizing these amazing holy mysteries of who He is, let it bring us into absolute adoring joy. No matter how good or how bad your day's going, when you can stop and think, this is what the Lord has done. Just reflecting on creation, let it just overflow you. And the joy just breaks out because you begin to give thanks to the Creator. When we think about, particularly at Easter time, but through other times, Christ's work on the cross, what a miracle that was. Oh, talk about giving thanks. Man, if you're having a bad hair day, that's one to go look to and say, you know what, mine's not so bad. Thank you, Lord. You know, the real miracle was not in the resurrection. That was the real joy, the death and the resurrection. But the miracle was in the forgiveness of sin. You realize that which could not exist with God, in the presence of God, God became for your sake and my sake. He became that. That it could be destroyed within Him. That's incredible. What a wonderful thing to be able to give thanks for, to know that that has been erased. Now, do we still fall into sin? You guys got pure while I was gone, didn't you? But for the rest of me, daily, weekly, whatever it is, fall off and get back up again. We can do that, though. John tells us, if you love the Lord, you won't sin. You won't continue in sin. And I used to think, John, I don't know what happened to you, man, but that hadn't come anywhere near me, so I'm either really in trouble or I'm not understanding. But what he's talking about is we've got it the old way, before we knew the Lord. All focused on us and doing all things for our own pleasure, whatever it may be. Once we came to understand Christ and He came into us, that old person died. As Paul says, crucified, dead, and buried with Christ, that the new man can come alive in you. And that new man is the seed of divinity, is the seed of God that is in our hearts, in our spirit. And that is sinless, absolutely sinless. So we're not in the same place we were, but we're not where we're going to be. That's the process of sanctification, which is a whole other three or four sermons I'll get into in about 10 minutes. Well, maybe not. Those are the miracles, the awe and the wonder of the Trinity and how He comes to us. But there's more in this. We also read the Great Commission. Jesus tells us plainly through the apostles, go therefore, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Preaching, by the way, teaching them all that I have taught you. Go. We've heard that sermon before. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but is there anybody here besides me, just thinking in your mind, that when I heard go within the week, somehow the go had got up and went and I was still sitting behind? And I was thinking to myself, this isn't working very well, so I'm probably not on his good side right now. All the wonderful little human thoughts that we can have. Go and share the good news. Encourage people to turn from the old ways. I know we can see the cartoon in the New Yorker, Repent. You know, that's been going around for a long time. But literally, we're saying, here's what Christ has done for me, and I just want to share that. Sort of like sharing a good book, a good friend, a good movie, whatever it may be. I want to share that. I want to let you know. He's done great things. It's amazing. That's the go part. But you notice, later on, Christ says, wait. There's go, but there's more. He says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive what? Power from on high. So I began to realize that I wasn't doing so bad. I just hadn't gotten the power yet. And that was really good news, because then I didn't have to go anywhere or do anything or talk to anybody until I got the power. The power hadn't come. I'm cool. It doesn't work that way either. There's the wait. What do you do while you're waiting? We have all the examples laid out there for us, don't we? Pray. Exactly. What were they doing in the upper room? Community. Gathered together. In prayer. Prayer for what? Come, Lord Jesus. They had no idea about the Holy Spirit and what was going to happen. But they knew something was coming because the Lord said so. Come, Lord Jesus. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit falls on them and they are never the same. Each one of us, in some degree, has one of those moments. Now, some have the great mountaintop experience that's amazing, and others pretty much just walk kind of quietly through, and suddenly they just wake up one morning and it's like, it's different. I love this Jesus. I remember for myself praying in front of a fireplace and trying to get rid of a bunch of garbage I'd got myself into a long time ago. And I had this picture of Christ that I was getting rid of a book, and it was all about the occult, by the way. I was kind of heavy into that for about 18 years, and the Lord called me out of it. So I pull that picture out because it's a picture of Christ, full face. I thought, well, then the priest here, Alan McKillop, Father Alan had said get rid of that stuff, so I was being obedient, and I'm going to get rid of it. I don't know why, but the real reason was I really didn't need it anymore. But I did decide I had to bring that down to show him how wrong he was and what I was doing was really good. And the little voice in my head said, that's a satanic trick. Throw that in the fire. And I went, yeah, right. I'm having hallucinations again, and I wasn't even on drugs. Hadn't even had a drink. It was crazy. So I ignored it. A good Christian kid, pretty far removed. Voice came back, said the same thing. 3 times, I'm a little hard-headed. So I picked up the paper and said, all right, just keep that quiet, threw it in the fire, and next thing I know, I didn't get up, but I was up on my feet, and my hands are spread out, and I'm singing Amazing Grace in a language I don't know. And I thought, after 3 hours of that, I have no idea what just happened. I don't know that I like it, but it really was joyful. It really was filled with hope. There was a sense of love and the peace of Christ coming from my head down to my knees and out my fingertips. And it was an incredible, incredible moment, followed by getting on the phone to Father Alan, what have you done? To which he laughed and said, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what baptized with the Holy Spirit was. I didn't know what speaking in tongues were. Never heard of it. I didn't know any of that stuff. But the Lord introduced me to it. That's a mountaintop experience. Everybody's got their own experience. What that showed me was the reality of the Godhead. There was no more, oh, this is something I can do on Sundays. No, this is real. And it continued that way. Then comes the go. And I had received power, but I was far from ready. So that followed with a lot of prayer and study and so on. And over the years, very slowly and gradually moved into, begin to share the things that God had done. That's what each of us does. Each of us is called. But the point of it is, it's in the glory of His majesty. That's what we want to be able to focus on. There is no single individual who will ever be able to do anything more than offer us a little bit of inspiration. And that inspiration comes from Jesus Christ through that person. It is God always in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who comes in and touches our lives every single time. He lifts us out. Or He lets us suffer. And there's always purpose, and it's always to our benefit. Always. It never changes. No matter how deep the hurt or how high the high, it is always to our benefit, and He always has our heart at His best interest. Yours and mine. We give thanks for that. We are joyful for that. We rejoice in the life that He gives us. And as we move in that thankfulness and that rejoicing, He comes more and more known to us, all to the glory of our Father in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.